Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We're going to be hearing a lot of Dolly Parton this morning. I'm very happy about this. Dolly Parton at Tanglewood tonight.
Her debut there.
Yeah, and it's going to be very, very cool. Her first tour in 25 years, major tour in 25 years. So Jim just did a nice piece on it, and we'll be hearing some of her music this morning. Anyway, welcome to the program. Very nice to be here. It is Friday, the 17th of June. My dear wife, Kelly, it's her birthday today, so
happy
I wish her a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, it's very exciting, and so we'll nice way to celebrate, go out to Tanglewood and see Ms. Parton.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Well, let me get to the show and introduce our panel. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Hi, my hands are hurting from practicing for my hour at Berkshire Ramblers Cafe Lena. At the Grove, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. What do you think about that?
7 o'clock. I think that was very smooth. 7 o'clock, yeah. Saturday night at the Grove for Cafe Lena, CAFFELENA.org for more information. And you can find out about Alan Chartok and the Berkshire Ramblers doing a great thing, doing a fundraiser for Cafe Lena. So there you go.
Yeah, it is a fundraiser. It is a fundraiser for them, and I can't wait to see all of our friends there. That'll be great.
All good stuff. So we wish you well on that endeavor. Rosemary Armeo is here. Rosemary, anything to plug?
No, not today. I reserve the right in the future.
Barbara Smith is here, author and activist. She has a hell of a plug this morning. She's going to be at the Commonwealth Club on Monday in San Francisco, and you will be moderating a panel. And that panel is on?
It's on the relationship of the Black Lives Matter movement to the LGBTQI community.
It is quite a heady panel. It's a very good panel.
Well, it was Alicia Garza, who is one of the three queer-identified black women who came up with the hashtag Black Lives Matter, who suggested that they have me come. I had met her last year, but long before we met, I knew what she was doing, and she knew what I was doing. So,
good stuff. Well, thank you. We wish you well and travel safe.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to hear all of the stories.
I'm looking forward to it, and I love listening to the Commonwealth Club on WAMC. Never dreamed that I would be doing a Commonwealth Club.
Well, that's it's very cool. We want to hear more stories. All right, let's get to the work at hand, and that is to figure out what's going on in the world, and it should take us probably more than an hour, but that's all we've got for today. We begin with... I do want to talk about the parliament member who was killed in Great Britain. Joe Cox, a member of the British Parliament, was killed in an attack, gunned down outside of a library in northern England as she was wrapping up a meeting with constituents on Thursday afternoon. We talk a lot in this country about gun violence in other countries, and this in the UK was a very rare act of gun violence. They strictly regulate firearms in the UK. 41 years old, considered to be a rising star in the opposition Labour Party, and the suspect has been identified by British news media. And of course, all of this comes as the country is in great turmoil and discussion over the exiting of the European Union. So a lot of questions as to whether that had anything to do with this and if that was part of the motivation in this attack, and probably at this point more questions than answers.
Right. The suspect appears to be a neo-Nazi. Was it just hatred of women, powerful women? She's been an outspoken voice. I'm struck by how heartfelt and shocked the reaction has been. It's like, oh, go through a couple more dozen like we have and you get used to it. Very shocking that it happened there. We've exported a horrible custom.
Are you saying that they reacted more passionately?
Yes,
than
I thought
here?
They did. Yeah.
Well, to the point where they said we're going to suspend campaigning. We are going to suspend campaigning of the two sides of this European Union referendum.
Yeah, We've had members of government shot. Gabby Gifford comes to mind, and it was like, oh, that's too bad. Okay, next story, because we accept it.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think the Gabby Gifford thing was had worldwide and national implications. I don't think it was too bad and pass it on. I don't think that's right.
Well, I don't think it means belittling it, but I do agree with Rosemary that it certainly was. We didn't stop the government. We didn't stop the business of the country.
True.
It didn't halt our patterns, as it were.
Yeah, we took a real moment. They took a real moment out, and I hope that it continues that way. I'd like that to be that way in our country, that it's such a rare event that you regard it as with horror and shock and not acceptance.
Now, the other thing is we always look at England and say, you know, how little violence there is. Of course, there was the Irish thing for a while, but for the most part, it has been a country that doesn't have the kind of chaos that we have. Now it turns out, if you were listening to the news just now, that this guy, as you just mentioned, Mitt Rosemary, had ties to these hate groups in the United States and got a How to Make a Gun pamphlet from them.
Right. Like I said, amazing. We're exporting our horrible.
That's exactly what I thought when I read it. We're exporting our brand of hatred and violence.
Yep.
And I would say the reason that the other countries, besides they have obviously different value systems, and I've been thinking about this all week as I've been listening to the roundtable when I'm not here. That's often what I do. And I think it's really important to look at the origin story of the United States of America, because it was built upon genocide against the indigenous people who were here for millennia before Europeans came, and then they began a little thing called chattel slavery of Africans. And when you have systems of violence that are that embedded in your founding experience, those things continue on. It's only been a few hundred years since those things occurred.
A really valid point, and I also am so alarmed by the politics that we're seeing in this election cycle, where comparing immigrants to snakes, to calling women names, it's become accepted. It's proto-fascism. We're back there.
We certainly are.
Meanwhile, this woman is 41 years old. She would have turned 42.
Two little kids.
Yes.
And would have turned 42 next week. And, you know, I think we often obviously try to bring out the best in someone as they pass and when we talk about them. But she worked for Oxfam. She worked with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to reduce child and infant mortality. She worked to combat slavery. She lived on a boat, for goodness sakes. It's, by all accounts, a pretty cool, very progressive woman in what she was doing in her work.
First in her family to have gone to a university at Cambridge, no less.
Yeah. And it's
the good die
it's
young.
Sad.
Why is that true? Why does that have to be true?
Well, they certainly did in Orlando.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Speaking of Orlando and speaking of gun violence, President Obama was in Orlando yesterday. He, it is, as Rosemary indicated, it is a ritual, a wrenching ritual that has become all too familiar to us as a nation, but certainly to this president. One by one, inside of an arena in downtown Orlando, where friends and relatives of the victims of the nation's deadliest mass shooting had congregated, Mr. Obama embraced mourners sick with loss. He told them that the nation stood with them and that his own heart was broken, offering words of comfort for a tragedy that he confessed he could not fathom.
He's gotten terribly polished and good at this, and he is the first to say he wished he were not. He's just had to do it too much.
I don't know if I would use the word polish, because that implies some forethought.
Like a rehearsal. Yeah. I don't mean that, but he's just very...
No, he's experienced, sadly experienced. And one of the things, I thought that the story did
comforting.
A good job. Pardon me?
He is comforting.
Yes, that it did such a good job of conveying the emotional atmosphere in these encounters, and how a number of people were interviewed and said that he gave them genuine hugs, not just pro forma, you know, ritualistic hugs, but that he gave them long and tight hugs to convey just that human connection.
Well, I mean, you remember when he went to Charleston after the black church shootings there, and he broke down and he sang a hymn. It's not rehearsed at all. It's genuine and heartfelt. And he keeps doing it and doing
it.
Yeah,
well, I think his heart has been broken multiple times and continues to be by the level of violence in the society.
And to his own admission that Newtown forever changed him in that regard.
It was a Nader.
When he went there, that was awful.
Yeah, the Nader.
And it doesn't stop people like John McCain from saying stupid and awful things about
wow.
the president.
Wow, where did that come from?
What was he thinking? I mean, we expected of Donald Trump. What were we thinking?
He's probably reading his polls and seeing that he's not being perceived as being effective enough as a Republican, and that he is competing with Trump, and that he's had bad things to say about Trump. Somehow, I think if you look at all of those pieces, you get why John McCain opened this trap. You know, this guy, McCain, can be profound, he could be wonderful, he can say great things, and then every once in a while he just ruins it all by going nutty.
I do want to, just for people who don't know, John McCain yesterday said that President Obama is directly responsible for the Orlando attack. He did walk it back a little bit, but not a lot. But it also was not received well by most people, including, perhaps most importantly to Senator McCain, to the people of Arizona.
Well, McCain is in a really difficult political fight right now, and I think it helps him to look like he's opposed more than he really is to Obama. However, his position got a boost yesterday from a letter sent by and signed by 51 diplomats in the United States who have worked with Syria, saying, you got to do something about Syria. And so I think that ties into McCain's idea that he has not reacted enough to the threat of ISIS.
Well, you know, Rosemary, just because 51 diplomats signed such a letter doesn't mean that they're right. I remember when, I read a lot about Roosevelt in the Second World War, and he just got as far away from the State Department as he could. He really was running his own foreign policy. So I just don't get it. I think that we have really screwed it up in Syria, and I think being there, we made a lot of mistakes, and going after Assad right now is just another proof of that they don't know what they're doing.
Alan, I think that the origin of that letter is important. It came through something called the Dissent Channel in the State Department that was set up after Vietnam when many, many mid-level and lower-level officials thought our policy was wrong and they had no way to get out their views, no way to be heard. So they set up this Dissent Channel. And it has been used before, but never signed by so many people. It's wrong to discount it as just wrongheaded. It's something that I would like to see the president respond to.
I also want to see about McCain's statements about President Obama being responsible for the shootings in Orlando. Homophobia was centrally responsible for that. And I think that to paper over that and to act as if this person born in the United States, who, to my knowledge, you can correct me if I am mistaken, didn't have any formal ties to these organizations. Did he
not? Not that we'd know of yet.
Okay. Right. And he also was going on to gay websites. He had been to the club before. He may have been to other gay clubs. I see it as imploding self-hatred, perhaps around his own sexuality, or, on the other hand, his inability to deal with the fact that not everybody in the world is a mirror image of who he is. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, but he chose to go to a place where there were almost entirely LGBT people of color. That was his decision. So nice to, for McCain to divert from what to me actually occurred.
Well, and it was one of those things that as so many Republicans distance themselves or try to distance themselves from Donald Trump, Trump's argument being that this wouldn't have happened if we had banned Muslims coming into this country, even though this man was a United States citizen.
Born in the same place that Trump was, Queens.
That's right, yeah, born in New York. So But then you turn around to John McCain, who says that the blood is on the president's hand because we took troops out of Iraq, we took troops out of Afghanistan, and this moved the situation into parts of the world that allowed ISIS and ISIL to grow. It's a different argument, but I don't know that it's any saner.
No. Yeah.
Alan?
No, I mean, I think McCain's got something loose in his brain right now. I do. I also think to take them out of Syria, to take the troops out, out of the Middle East, one wonders why it was necessary to put them in. And that is the other side. You got to fix what you started.
You know, the other thing too, Alan, and I'll ask you this as a political scientist in the last minute before we go over to break. But Rosemary, you started off by talking about what's happening in the UK right now, and a decorum, and taking a time out and moving things forward. Taking time out to actually focus on the grief. And McCain made these statements as the president was leaving the plane
to go in Orlando.
Right. And in some way upstaged that by making these claims, which just seems to be unfortunate
and heartless, as far as I'm concerned. Really heartless.
Yep.
But that can't help you either in a political sense, can it, Alan?
Well, it seems like he's doing okay with Trump.
And in Arizona, I think it can.
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you're right, Rosemary, and you've corrected me on this a couple of times, I want to use the word corrected with a little bit of cynicism. Trump is going down in the polls right now. His unfavorables are going up and up and up.
He's not talking about polls anymore in his speeches.
Let's stop.
Yeah.
No.
We only have about 10 seconds, Alan.
Yeah. So I think he's in a bad spot. I don't think he knows what he's doing, to be honest with you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation. We have letters. Alan will read those, and we'll get to much more after this short break.
Of auburn hair with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green.
One of Dolly Parton's many hits, Jolene, and we'll be at Tanglewood tonight at 7 o'clock and find out more about her performance at tanglewood.org. We have our panel this morning, and Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith. Very nice to have all of them with us, and nice to have you with us as well. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We do have, we talked about a lot of things, and we have a lot of letters on a lot of different subjects, so let's get to a few of those before we move on to other things.
Thank you, says Jay. First, I've noticed that Alan sounds much more relaxed now that the fun drive is over. Congratulations. Second, is anybody else besides me tired of hearing the word presumptive? Third, in the wake of the Orlando killings, I think it was a mistake for the media here and abroad, BBC, to continually say it was a record for a mass shooting. I'm concerned it will provoke others to inspire deranged people to engage in similar acts in an attempt to break the record. Thank you, said Jay. Okay.
I agree with that.
And Yeah.
I think that's a concern.
All of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not all of it, but it's certainly the thing about I think it's important for us to put it into a perspective that it is the worst mass shooting in this country. But that continual drive of it. And I realize that may go into ground that we discussed the other day about not mentioning the name of the...
Well, I do hate the not mentioning the name, but you're right about the record. And we even know that this mass killer, like most others, researched other mass killings before he acted. He looked up San Bernardino.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there is something to be said about that, trumpeting like it's a record to be proud of.
Right. Alan, go ahead.
Michael says, Barbara, haven't most all the cultures in the world been founded on violence and extermination of an indigenous people? In other words, the Maori of New Zealand, the Australian Aborigines, as well as most others. Slavery as well was legal in Britain for a long while. I'll let Barbara answer for herself, but the way that I see it is Britain was way ahead of the United States in getting rid of it. But go ahead, Barbara.
Getting rid of that kind of violence?
Slavery.
Slavery. Yeah, they did end slavery decades before the United States did. I am talking about, I guess, you know, when I'm thinking about this country, I'm comparing it to other Western industrialized nations that did not have this history. They had a history of colonialism, which was just as brutal. It was away from the nation state. It was elsewhere, if you see what I'm saying. I feel like the fact that the land was stolen here, and then chattel slavery and a system of white supremacy was put into place, that affects our value system. When people talk about they need to have their guns, they're not thinking about white people that they have to protect themselves from. They're thinking about people like me and other people of color and the marauding, dangerous black males that they're thinking about. And, and if they can get rid of some LGBTQ people, then that's good too. As I said, there's a mentality in this country that is built upon the history of this nation. It is specific. Every nation has a specific history. It doesn't mean that they're not violent. I'm just saying that here in this nation, the origin story really is indicative.
Okay, and from Tom, I thought the title of Most Killed was Tim McVeigh in Oklahoma City.
Wasn't a shooting. No. It was a mass shooting.
No?
It was a bombing.
It was a bombing. Day. Yeah, it was a difference.
No, that's true. I mean, that's true. On the other hand, I think Tom's point is well taken.
They were saying it was the single largest mass shooting in the country, and an act of terror, and of course the most killed, of course, was 9/11, but they're talking by one person, a single shooting, in a
single
place,
actor, yeah,
a
mm-hmm.
single act mm-hmm. Shooting.
Well, we heard from Stuart, who said, and I know this is going to sound self-serving, and as usual, I know I'm going to get it for it, but he writes, I want to thank Alan for the interview with Jill Stein yesterday. She was very articulate. And on. And he said, I'm glad that Bernie didn't endorse Hillary, who he says he doesn't like. However, I got more mail on this, angry mail about our playing this hour with Jill Stein. Now, I'm not going to vote for Jill Stein. I told her that. But the fact of the matter is that this radio station owes it to everybody to play everybody's views, doesn't it? I mean, I don't get why the anger about our playing a one-hour interview with somebody. And, of course, we get it if we don't. And somebody says, how come you don't do the third parties? Well, anyway. So Bill says, Britain did end slavery long before we did, but only in England. It was still allowed in the British colonies for much longer. We did this, and I'm just trying to see what we did. Okay. Rosemary had the issue about the State Department complaints about Syria backwards. The 51 officials want Obama to bomb Assad. I said
that's
that.
Right.
ISIS. And that would strengthen ISIS, not weaken it. Rosemary?
We're comparing two different things. It was McCain who said Obama's responsible for Orlando because he hasn't gone after ISIS. And I said he's also getting complaints about his Syria policy. And just in general, Syria has led to the chaos that has engendered ISIS. Yeah, I understand that the call from the officials and even John Kerry has said this is that we have to take stronger action against Assad. If you had a strong state government in Syria, I think that ISIS would be in trouble, more in trouble than it is. So,
I just don't know, but I already had my say on that one. Paul says, "Dear Roundtable, the Roundtable has just sunk to the level of Fox News commentary with a comment that we're exporting our violent culture to Britain. We're more violent because of our origin story that includes genocide against Native Americans, question mark. What about the 500 years of oppression and genocide in Europe that preceded the founding of America? And what about the British colonialism of the 1800s? I think the comment was unfair and needlessly critical of America and reflects Barbara Smith's disdain for her own country more than it provided any illumination of the issues. I expect better of the Roundtable," said Paul, with whom I don't agree. Barbara, would you like to have a say in this?
I'll just say that many scholars of African American history and politics and culture in this country absolutely would agree and concur with the perspective that I put out, and I don't really see any need to argue about it. I think that he has an absolute right to his perspective on the matter, and I think that I certainly have an opportunity to express mine, which I very much appreciate.
I should say. Okay.
And under Donald Trump, you might not have it. He would like to suppress views that are contrary to his own.
Okay, so I got it because I quote, "There was that Irish thing for a while. Really, Dr. Shartok? Millions starved to death and are killed. I have grave sorrow for murdered people, but a throwaway line diminishing the suffering of millions is wrong." Wrong, wrong, and wrong. I was saying that, in fact, Britain did not have a culture of extermination of, I don't mean extermination, I mean killing, homicides, unless you look at the way in which the Irish patriots were exterminating certain people in Great Britain at the time. That's what I said and not what you said. Anybody?
Nope.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Andrew says, "McCain is not correct in directly linking Obama to Orlando. The direct link is the Iraqi Shia unwillingness to allow Iraqi Sunnis to participate in the government of their country, thus creating ISIS." And Linda says, "I've been thinking a lot about McCain's comments on Obama and a number of mass shootings we have experienced. I think the thing we should consider more so during Obama's presidency is the hateful and polarizing rhetoric of the GOP and conservative news pundits fueling the madness of people seeking affirmation to act out." Brian says, "What's Obama doing for the level of violence in his hometown of Chicago? Question mark. Speaking of violence, slavery, slaughtering indigenous people, maybe McCain has, quote, something loose in his brain is because he was really tortured, in capital letters. And when he offered a chance to leave by his captors, stayed with his men." William says, "I listen to you on my computer most every weekday morning. Yesterday and today I've been unable to get past, okay, the loading message on your plane. What's going on? We'll check it out for you." Okay. "It would appear that the State Department," says Jeff, "has amnesia. We spent a decade in Iraq with 4,000 American dead, 100,000 Iraqi dead, and $1 trillion wasted. They seem to miss that we got nothing for our shared sacrifice." And that's from Jeff. Two words from McCain. Credibility on President Obama, Orlando, or any other issue, Sarah Palin. Good point. You know, the thinking. David says, "I agree with most of what you said. It was a tragic act of terror. As much as I feel bad, it should not shut down the country in Israel when series of suicide bombings on buses and restaurants in Israelis went on living with gusto and energy. And by the way, there is a huge LGBT population in Israel, and they had one of the largest parades in the ME and Asia, Middle East and Asia. It's something to think about." All right. And John says, "This isn't new. The kill the gays laws popping up in Africa, written with the help of American evangelical Christian missionaries. The anti-gay laws in Russia and other former Soviet countries were created after meetings with a homophobic pastor from Massachusetts. We've been exporting our hate for decades now, but because it was hate against LGBT folk, nobody noticed or cared."
I appreciate that because it's true. Those very, very conservative and ideological denominations here when they have seen that that's not the direction that the country is going in generally. They have been absolutely exporting their homophobia to African nations.
Uganda's,
and there's a lot of good research on that. There's an organization called Political Research Associates. I don't know if people are familiar with it, but they track the right wing in a research-oriented way, kind of different from the Southern Poverty Law Center that's doing the statistical and other kinds of analysis. But they've done some really good research on that very phenomenon.
We're going to take a break. We'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Blue Marble, a world of gifts. Locations on North Pleasant Street in downtown Amherst and now at a second location at Thorne's Marketplace in Northampton, theBlueMarble.biz. Phillips Real Estate, Black Island, Rhode Island, with summer rental weeks still available, from cottages to large homes, many of which are available for purchase. PhillipsOnBI.com. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the capital region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996. iMediaConsult.com. And the Carey Institute for Global Good, home of the Center for Teacher Professional Development in Rensselaerville, New York. CAREYInstitute.org for more information.
Roll with me now. Blue smoke climbing up the mountain. Blue smoke winding round the bend. Blue smoke is the name of the heartbreak train that I am riding in. I left no light road, I'm leaving, and I won't be coming back. Blue smoke rolling, 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 rolling.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Rosemary Armeo is here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Rosemary. Barbara Smith, who is going to be leaving us and be headed to California to the Commonwealth Club to take part in their panel, and we're thrilled that she's with us before that. And our great gazoo himself, Alan Chartok, is here. Good morning, Alan. And he's going to be at the, I keep on forgetting the name of the place. What's
the
it
Grove.
Called? The Grove. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Grove.
Which is Cafe Lena in residence.
That's right. And it will be the Grove in Saratoga. And you can find out more by going to cafelena.org. And it's the Berkshire Ramblers and Alan doing their thing tomorrow night. All right. Let's go to a couple of other topics. And we will we'll move on here. I do want to mention a couple of things. First of all, there's a story in the Washington Post this morning about Donald Trump calls her crooked Hillary, but his fans just say, and I only use this word once on the show just so you know what I'm talking about, but that is the word that is on the T-shirts. The word that is being that is used throughout is that of bitch. Okay, so the question is, as thousands of Donald Trump supporters streamed out of an evening rally in Greensboro, North Carolina, they walked past a handful of vendors from Ohio selling simple white T-shirts featuring Monica Lewinsky, Hillary Clinton, and a vulgar joke at the back of the T-shirts read, Trump that. The word I just said. It is, as most of Trump rallies, there's a palpable hatred of Clinton in the air, and some of the strongest applause lines for Trump come when he attacks the presumptive Democratic nominee, calling her crooked or accusing her of playing the woman's card. And so the words of the candidates certainly come in here and are of great concern, but also it is what is brought to light and the what is said semi-publicly through the T-shirts, and even to a worse level in the conversation, which
Right. We can't even get close to saying even once on radio.
What? Right. The word that comes next, unfortunately, in describing Hillary Clinton.
And all women.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's true. Although, as we talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. many women in that crowd, but yes. So what do you do about this? I know this is something that has come, that has been a concern throughout the Trump campaign as to, okay, so the candidate brings his followers to the water and then they drink. So then at what point do you have a responsibility for what they are doing and what they are saying?
Do you want me to go?
You know, when he went after Marco Rubio and called him Little Marco or the other guys, there was almost a fun aspect to it. Maybe that's because, you know, I don't happen to.
It was belittling when he did it then, too.
No, it was belittling. There's no question. You're right about that. However, I found it funny. And I'm just being honest about it. However, I don't find any of this funny. And I have a feeling that he is alienating, even if it's possible, more women in the United States than he has up until now, because he is just picking at that scab. Now, I don't know. Maybe there are people we don't know about who are going to vote in this election. But if you're listening to the pollsters and others, I think he's making a series of big mistakes here.
Well, the thing, Rosemary, seems to be that you have a candidate who clearly has issues with women and has repeatedly been told at poll after poll after poll after poll that he does not poll well with women. Assuming he does actually want to win the presidency, you would think there would be some attempt, but we are not seeing that, and certainly not in this case.
Well, you don't do anything about it. There's the First Amendment, which we respect, although he does not, that allows him to do this. There's also nothing new in it. Hillary's other campaigns have been marked by the same sort of, you know, crude, disgusting misogyny. Many other women who have run into the same thing, including Sarah Palin, who's supposedly on their side. She ran into this. So Hillary's fine. She's got the thick skin and she'll take it. What I'm concerned about are the people who are buying those T-shirts and apparently record numbers who believe in that, and I want to see Hillary crush him. I want the first woman to run on a major party for president, and she's going to face this guy who is so open in his hatred of women. Good, let her take that on. I'm a card carrying, you know, woman's card. I've got that from Hillary. I'm with the B word. I'm with the bitch.
Do you think, Rosemary, that when Hillary was running against Obama, that Obama crowds were wearing these T-shirts?
They were not.
Like that?
Exactly right, Barbara. That's the whole thing. Obama attacked her for her policies and her thought, attacked her as an equal, and then embraced her for their differences.
But you did say that she had dealt with this in previous
sexism
campaigns,
before.
which I assume is through her Senate campaign and other campaigns as well, not to mention when she was first lady. But the question that I pose is, what responsibility do you take as a candidate when you lead them to the water and you say, okay, the next step is I'm going to come just this close to saying it, and then I'll let you say it.
You know, obviously, Trump should be doing something different. He isn't. He hasn't held back on violence. He hasn't held back on racism. He hasn't held back on misogyny. It's a piece.
Or Islamophobia.
Let's Muslims. I mean, mm-hmm. just pick your group. He's insulted them all.
Right.
It's part of his campaign. And and it's going to get even worse. I mean, I can't believe he's going to bring up Bill Clinton's sexual infidelity to Hillary as if she's going to be punished for it rather than Bill Clinton. It's just insane. And yet there is an audience for it among the base of Trump supporters. And the punishment for him is that, what are his poll ratings on women? What are his poll ratings on educated people? He's not making the mark with those of us he needs to be persuading.
7 to 10 say that they disapprove of his actions.
Right.
Go ahead, Alan.
And yet, if you go back into history and see the roots of fascism and mm-hmm. who gets involved, it is not the people who are educated the way that you're talking about there, Rosemary. I think, in fact, he is playing to a group he considers, I suspect, to not have many ideas and just to attach themselves to this kind of irrational pap that he puts out there. Am I being elitist in saying that?
I think I'm betting on the greater number of people in the United States being tolerant and not the hate mongers that he is. I guess we're going to find out in the election.
I just want to read this quote from him, from the article. Quote, this is Trump speaking. They're what? They're calling her what? Trump said as the word was repeated to him a second time. I have not heard that. I don't like that. But I have not heard that. I would not be happy if I heard it. End quote. And then the writer points out that people are wearing the T-shirts in front
right
of his eyes.
Yeah.
So it's like, I never heard that. Can you read? You know?
Yeah.
And he said, I love women more than anybody loves women.
And he also said early on that he would protect us because it is, after all, the 18th century, and that's what we're looking for. I'll protect women like nobody. Whatever, Donald. Whatever, Donald.
Well, and that's the same thing that he was doing on Tuesday in a speech of when he was trying to turn that by allowing Muslims into this country, Hillary Clinton was doing less for women and the LGBT community than he was going to do by banning them.
I mean, the whole...
And you try to figure out that logic, but okay.
The whole point here is that what Donald says is not going to ever persuade us. It's not going to persuade women who think about these issues. He's not talking to us. He's talking to those people at his rallies, the people who have voted for him up to now. And he thinks that will carry him to the White House. I think it will not. And that's the hope.
And I do have to say, I hope that this doesn't seem untoward or improper, but the thing is, Hillary's feminism does not necessarily encompass, you know, the widest range of women either, particularly if you look back to welfare reform, et cetera. So it's not that she's perfect in her advocacy. It's just that she actually has advocacy around women's issues as opposed to attack.
She's been amazing on the international level. She has made this an issue in the entire world. That I give her credit for. No, she's not perfect. No candidate is. But wow, Donald's way unperfect.
All right. I just realized that it's we should have ended about a minute ago. So my apologies. But thanks to Alan. Have a great gig, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
CafeLena.org for more information. Rosemary, thank you. And Barbara, a pleasure to have you here. Travel safe. And
thank you
we'll
so
see you
much.
Next Friday. You'll
Absolutely.
Be back in time? Excellent.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.